Good afternoon. You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim, and I am Kim Ariano, and my partner with me today is Michelle Pearson from Pearson Law Firm. How you doing, Michelle?
I'm terrific. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you very much. And our producer today is Mike, who's standing in on our vacationing Eric.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, good to have you.
Kind of a gray day out there, it's a nice day to sort of, you know, cozy up with your radio and have some good conversation, don't you think?
I think so. You know, that time between Christmas and New Year's is so lazy. It is for me anyway. I know everybody's looking like, no, things are nuts. But no, my mind just naturally goes, no, you're hanging with the kids and, you know, barely getting out of your jammies and just kind of enjoying things. Is that your experience? Michelle's looking at me like I'm crazy. No.
No. I'm not looking at you like you're crazy, but I'm thinking about what's going on at my house. And it's like the M&Ms and the cookies and all the chocolates and the pie and all that stuff. It's like, I think they're like, they're getting together and somehow planning against me.
Uh-oh.
I'm like, no, January 1st is coming. I'm gonna ignore all you guys soon.
And then are you going on your New Year's resolution?
Yeah, I think once the days get a little bit longer, it'll be a little bit easier.
So I'm going to talk a little bit more about this on future shows, but I actually have been on a new diet since Thanksgiving Day is when I started it.
And
we'll be talking a lot more about it. Yes. So I haven't done any cookies or candies or anything this holiday season. And I really haven't missed it.
I know. It's amazing how quickly you can get off of a sugar interest. I hate to call it an addiction because for a lot of people, it's not really an addiction. It's more like, I just want it because I want it. And I want to have it right now.
It's
I just want a treat.
Yes. No, it's not a treat. Somebody said to me, it feels better to be thin than it does to eat or something like that. Or feeling thin feels better than just, I don't remember how that saying goes.
You know, my new test is, am I hitting things with the back of my body without knowing it first? And that's like the true test. I'm like, okay, too many cookies.
Am I checking my child as I'm walking into the kitchen? Yeah, that might be an indicator that you need to drop it down a couple of notches. But so I'm kind of excited for the new year because I'm hitting the ground running a little bit.
Good
so I'm very excited about that. Yeah, very good. Well, Michelle is joining us today, as she will once a month on the Walk the Talk with Kim show. And today she's going to be talking about something that I think is very, very important for everybody, families included, teenagers, parents. I'm, guilty. We'll talk a little bit more about this, but this is about distracted driving today.
Correct.
And that's what we're going to be talking about. So where do you want to kick us off with distracted driving?
Well, the place I want to start from is what people actually think that is. Because when I started to actually talk about or think about coming to the show and considering the different ways that I could be of service to people, given what I do, I could very easily talk about not following too close and when it starts to rain or snow, do this or that. And I think that those are good topics, and we can certainly spend time on that. But it is very, very difficult right now to look into any newspaper or internet news source without seeing something that has directly tied some sort of a major or minor incident, sometimes involving the loss of life, to what is becoming known as distracted driving.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, in my work, with the focus on personal injury claims, I hear many, many stories all the time about why people ended up in some sort of a catastrophe on the road. It's because someone wasn't paying attention. And over the past decade, the reason they're not paying attention usually has something to do with some sort of device. It's gone from, putting your makeup on in the mirror and checking your dispatch codes if you're a truck driver, to thinking it's fine. The phone is just kind of an extension of my hand.
Mm-hmm.
And it isn't. And there are lots and lots of things that we'll talk about during the show today that hopefully will have an impact on people who are continuing to do that.
Now, for those listeners that don't know, Pearson Law Firm is a sponsor of the Walk the Talk with Kim show, and we thank you very much for being such a generous sponsor of the show. But also, what is exciting about this partnership is we have an opportunity to learn from a lawyer, and you are a lawyer. You and your husband have a law firm, and you had mentioned that you do personal injury. What to those of us that thankfully haven't had to involve your type of law, what is your type of law and how does that kind of fit?
That's a very good question, and it's something that does deserve a little bit of explanation. Personal injury law primarily is like the balance of law, always has two sides, but the way that my husband and I work with people is we only represent the victims of personal injury. So, for instance, if someone blows a stop sign and hits your car, we would represent you. We wouldn't represent the driver who was negligent. And negligent is another one of those terms that sometimes folks don't understand. So the first thing I would want people to know is that we only represent injured people, people who have been hurt. And negligence means through no intentional act. So, for instance, if someone's inattentive because they are driving in a distracted way, as we were talking about before on the phone or something like that, it isn't as though they intended to hurt you, but because they did not take reasonable care to obey the rules that they are bound by, they caused an incident that can actually hurt someone physically. Sometimes it's property damage, but a lot of times it's actually to their person.
Now, you do both car accidents and other types of injuries as well. So someone being negligent, a manufacturer or something along those lines, mm-hmm. you do that as well. How many of the accidents are you seeing approximately that are caused, that are negligent related, that are caused by distracted driving? Is it most of them?
No, it's not most of them, but let's, for the purposes of our conversation today, sort of sequester the term distracted driving to just driving where people are engaged in some sort of device use.
Okay.
Other than their...
We're not talking about your mother-in-law yapping at you. We're talking about actual cell phone use or iPad or iPhone or
correct.
Video game or what other types of devices, GPS systems? What are the kinds of devices that would be considered...
Well, there is an actual, if you go out to the United States Department of Transportation, it's an amazing source of statistics. And I'll tell you something, it is, it's stultifying how bad this is. It really is an epidemic. They talk about it as an epidemic. So let me answer your question. And it's not so much the device, but what constitutes distracted driving is texting. So texting on any sort of device, using a cell phone or a smartphone, eating or drinking. So, again, we're just going to talk today about primarily devices. But eating or drinking, talking to passengers is distracted driving, grooming, such as,
crimping
your hair,
right.
Putting your makeup on and all that sort of stuff. Reading, like including maps or looking at your GPS. Watching a video, adjusting your radio, your CD player, or your MP3. So again,
who's watching a video while they're driving?
Oh.
I asked that laughingly, but I guess it happens, huh?
Yeah, it does happen.
Wow,
it does happen. And I can't tell you. I mean, out of the cases that we have in our office, there are. I didn't do the numbers. Run the numbers before I came, but I would say it's probably between 25% and 30% of our cases. Are due
wow.
to someone causing a rear-end accident is most common. When somebody's looked down for even a second, if you're close enough, you're going to hit somebody. So if you take your eyes off the road for even just a second, the chances that you're going to cause some sort of either property damage or personal injury is exponential. It's amazing.
Wow.
It's really amazing. And we'll talk about, you know, some of the statistics, but when I really started to look at, I would say it was probably about 4 months ago, I was like, you know, I don't remember where, you know, again, I was reading something in the newspaper or listening to something in the radio, and I thought, you know, I do that. I text. Not all the time, but I do it. I talk on the phone.
Right.
I have a hands-free device. I always use it. I've had it for years, but I talk on the phone. And there have been times where I've missed a turn or missed a good parking space or something like that, because even for a moment, I am distracted by something that somebody is saying. And the more intent I need to listen to it, the more intently I need to listen to it, the more distracted I am.
Right.
So I conducted an experiment with myself, and I took away everything. I put away my hands-free device. I put my phone in the back seat so I couldn't get it. And you know what? I don't listen to the radio. I mean, there are many, many times now where I don't do anything in the car except drive. And it is very different. And I remember actually enjoying driving.
Well, so that's the thing that I was thinking is I love to drive, first of all. That's my thing. So I love to actually feel the car and think and be present with my automobile. However, I do know that there are times when I turn the radio off and I'm by myself and I'm thinking and my mind is going a million miles an hour and I'm still not paying attention. In fact, I tell the story that I was driving down the freeway one time and I was thinking about my son's birthday party. I was thinking, oh my gosh, that's coming up and I had to go to work and I had to pick up this. And I was thinking about all the things I needed to do. And then all of a sudden in front of me, a Mercedes-Benz slammed on its brakes on the freeway. And it just, I became present to where I was and almost snapped out of my trance. And so even though I'm driving, I was not there. And then I realized, you know, my body's getting hurled down the freeway at 70 miles an hour, and I was just not present to what was going on at all. And that was no distraction other than my own thoughts. So how do you stop that?
You really have to concentrate when you're driving. That's what, I mean, I'm no expert in driving, but based on just a little bit of research that I've done and, you know, some of the things that we'll talk about today, I mean, the less you do in the car, the better.
Wow, that's good sound advice. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to keep talking with Michelle Pearson, Pearson Law Firm, about distracted driving and some of the things that you need to know as a driver out there and what to do if you get hurt or if someone you love gets hurt in these types of incidences. I'm sure Michelle has a wealth of knowledge for us. You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim. All this information can be found on www.walkthetalkwithkim.com. Come back. We'll be talking more with Michelle.
Hi, I'm Jerry Pearson, and with my wife, Michelle, we're local residents just like you who have a passion to help those who have been harmed or wronged in our communities. If you have a personal injury from a car crash or a property hazard, an industrial injury, a defective product, or nursing home neglect issue, the Pearson Law Firm can help you anywhere, anytime. Contact us today for a free case evaluation at 1-800-423-8473. The number again is 1-800-423-8473. Or check us out at walkthetalkwithkim.com.
Do you wish you could train your brain to be more creative? ThinkShop can help. For 16 years, ThinkShop has trained individuals at Fortune 500 companies, small businesses, and nonprofits. Learn our proven process to think creatively and make great ideas happen. Our trainings are offered in person and online. Learn more at thinkshop.com.
Here's a unique way to give back. Snoqualmie Valley business owner Chris Fagan of ThinkShop is using her family adventure as a way to raise money for good. In December, her family will climb Kilimanjaro, the highest mountain in Africa, to help raise money to build two classrooms at a school in Tanzania. Learn more or make a donation at KilimanjaroForKids.com.
You're listening to the refreshingly different Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim. I am Kim Ariano. I'm here with my very special guest, Michelle Pearson.
Well, it's been quite an interesting turn in the weather. You had mentioned that it was quite gray, and I was noticing that this December, we live right along the Snoqualmie River, and the river has been lower than I've ever seen it in December. It has been so dry. And today, it's like looks like in one day, or at least a couple of days, it's almost come up to flood stage.
Wow.
Amazing.
Wow.
Yeah, we've had a lot of rain the last couple of days.
Yeah, I've seen some standing water that wasn't there 10 hours ago, and all of a sudden it's the next morning, it's like, whoa.
Hey, well, that's good. That means we can still keep drinking water. We don't have to worry about drought quite yet. Not quite this time of year.
We need snowpack.
We need snowpack, yes. We'd love to have snowpack. Some snow. So we were talking about distracted driving, and I've seen some of the clips on YouTube. There's been some fascinating commercials and things in Britain and England that have hit real close to home about distracted driving, and you hear some of them on the radio. You know, somebody's last text was something as simple as LOL, and that was their last text. I cannot even imagine what it would be like to be responsible for hurting another human being. And so you deal with this all the time. You're dealing with people that have been injured by somebody. Do these people take responsibility for this? You chuckle, and I guess that speaks volumes.
Oh.
Do people still think that, you know, they're not responsible for these types of things or their extenuating circumstances? Or what are you seeing?
Absolutely, they think it's not their fault. Mm. It is amazing. And if they do take responsibility and they say something at the scene like, I'm sorry, I was texting, or I'm sorry, I was on my cell phone, by the time their insurance company hires an attorney, all of a sudden, all of that's gone.
What are some
and
of the
all
defenses?
Of a sudden, I mean, I'm sorry, Kim, for interrupting you, but I will give you a really good example
of
that, okay? In March of this year, we went to trial in Snohomish County, and the facts of the case are rather involved, but not too far from simple. If I just tell you basically what happened, my client sitting in a car. We're stopped. We've got two kids in the back seat. We've just come back from the beach, and we're sitting at a stoplight. And we are hit from behind at 35 miles an hour by a very large commercial truck, not an 18-wheeler, but a very large commercial pickup with a lot of equipment in the back. It's heavy. There's a driver and a passenger. And the man gets out after hitting my client at 35 miles an hour, apologizes, says he's on the cell phone. And at trial, what the defense says is that it's her fault, it's my client's fault for all of the pain that she's having, because she had an incident when she was young and it predisposed her to pain.
Hmm.
So even though she's completely sitting minding her
business yeah.
and obeying the law, and he isn't, all of a sudden, because of his distracted driving, she has a permanent injury that will, when she's young, she was a young woman when this happened, she was only about 32 years old, has a permanent back injury.
Wow.
And, you know, has to do different things for work, can't engage in the same kinds of activities that she used to. She's permanently disabled but, you know, getting back to the distracted driving question and how that plays in, yes, oftentimes people will communicate some, you know, apology, dismay, you know, something like that. But oftentimes, if it becomes a litigated matter, somehow that goes completely awry.
Now, you just had spoken about what is distracted driving. What specifically are the laws in Washington State in regards to what you can and can't do? I mean, can you eat while driving, or is that illegal?
You can eat while driving. There is no law that says that you can't eat while driving. You are supposed to have your hands on the wheel when you drive. But with regard to cell phone use in particular, as you know, we now have a state law that says that you cannot be holding a phone while you are driving. You have to have a hands-free device. And I see at least a dozen people every day who are holding their phones and driving. And it is a primary act now. You can be stopped just for doing that. It's not a secondary act.
So if a police officer sees you holding a phone, then they can pull you over for no other reason.
Correct.
Where some laws, you have to be pulled over for another reason.
Correct.
Yeah. That's not one of them.
Yeah, that's not one of them.
Wow. What else? How about, you know, obviously texting at any cell phone in your hand. But if you're using a device, hands-free device, that's okay. But I even heard that they're discussing about eliminating hands-free devices
as
well.
Yes, they are. Mm-hmm.
Why is that? I mean, if you can talk to somebody, a passenger in your car, why wouldn't you be able to talk hands-free on a device? Is there more distraction talking on the phone than talking with a person actually in your car?
Well, I don't know all of the complete answer to that, but from the bit of research that I've done, what they have discovered through a number of national studies, the Department of Transportation, U.S. Department of Transportation, and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, they find that if you have to become deeply engaged with someone on the phone, it is more distracting than having a conversation with someone as a passenger. Because usually, I mean, typically those conversations are not as typically, you know, if you're commuting or those kinds of things, typically you're not engaged in that sort of heavy conversation. But, and I don't know.
Oh, I don't know. I've had some heavy conversations.
My own experience, I'll just speak from my own experience because I didn't see any data on this. But my own experience with that is that if I am talking to someone in the car and I can actually see them and we can have sort of a minute-to-minute or second-to-second sort of interaction, I think that, you know, again, my own experience, it's easier to do that than to try to imagine what's going on with someone I may be having an argument with over the phone.
Right.
Like, for instance, I have in the past had conversations that were very upsetting with, you know, opposing counsel in the car. And I just won't do that anymore because it's way too distracting. It's just way too distracting.
Well, and I can imagine if you have someone in the car with you, they're in the same environment as you are. So there's a kind of, it's more mutual. Somebody who's on the phone is having a conversation with you doesn't know where you are or what your situation is and isn't looking in the same direction you're even looking. So there could be a different, you know, psychological stint to it. Interesting. What do you think, Mike, about this whole driving while distracted? I'll bet you never do anything like that.
I think it's a huge deal, and you're right. I don't. I will not take a call or make a call unless it's an emergency.
If
I'm driving, I don't have the hands-free by design, or I know, and there are studies that, as we've talked about, that just says it's a different kind of a conversation when you're talking on your phone. It's much more distracting than it is when you're talking to somebody in the car. And I just, every day we see it, someone's driving, they're texting, and they're just absolutely not paying attention. They can't be paying as much attention if they're dealing with any kind of a device.
Yeah. Well, I agree with you. And I'll be the first to tell you not to incriminate myself, but I have been a cell phone user for many, 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 many years. I was in the telecom industry. So for me, you know, driving from here to Portland, that was 3 hours of productivity time because I'm driving and, you know, talking the whole time. But we had put together a voicemail service or a voicemail product where you can actually read, listen, and respond to all your voicemail messages while you're on the cell phone. So you didn't have to do any of that texting stuff. But still, there's a lot of mindless trips to Portland where I don't think I remember the trip at all.
Right.
You know, you just kind of go into autopilot. So if anything very specific was going to happen, So this for me has been an adjustment for me because, I mean, I've had cell phone in my car since 96, 95. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure like a lot of us that have been around for a while and, you know, the kids now, they're learning to drive. They have cell phones in their pockets.
Aren't they born with them now?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah, I think. My son doesn't have one. My daughter does, but it's for safety use only. But my kids have been really good police. I'm glad that I've left that communication open for them because they'll tell me, they'll say, hey, you're not supposed to be taking a call, Mom. And, oh, yeah, you're right. I'm not supposed to be taking
good
a call. So
good for them.
Yeah, they have the full permission from mom that if mom is doing anything that they don't feel comfortable with as far as behind the wheel, they can tell me, which is good. Open communication. I wouldn't dare ever do that with my parents, but but that was a different age. That was back right. in the days when there were no seatbelts and drinking and driving wasn't, I mean, it was open container. There were no laws against that.
Yeah, and you so could sleep in the
different.
Trunk on the way home from vacation.
Yeah.
Oh, let's just put her in the trunk.
Exactly. So aside from putting bubble wrap on our kids, this is a little bit different, right? They are equating to drinking and driving in the same vein as distracted driving and texting.
Yes.
It's the same reaction times, yeah. isn't it?
And, you know, getting back to that, I was just looking through some of the things that I brought with me. There was a study conducted by the University of Utah by two researchers named Strayer and Johnson, S-T-R-A-Y-E-R, and William Johnston. And they studied the effects of distracted driving and what they were calling dual task studies, where mm-hmm. you're actually engaged in two things, driving and something else. And their bottom line was that cellular phone use disrupts driving performance by diverting attention to an engaging cognitive context. And that was what I was trying to allude to before, where because you are removed from basically the cabin of your car into like what may or may not be going on for the other person you're having the argument with on the mm-hmm. phone, or you're engaged in something very profound or deep or meaningful or emergent or whatever, then so what they're saying is that engaging in that sort of extracurricular cognitive activity is much worse than the one. It puts you in a different frame of mind than just simply driving.
Well, see, that makes sense to me because, you know, we've got the three brains and the one brain is our reptilian fight or flight
that's
response.
Right.
And if your fight or flight response is going off because of the conversation,
that's right.
It's not going off at all and not able to help you, which is why we have fight or flight response. There's good stress and bad stress. That fight or flight response could be good stress. So we're not using that to keep ourselves safe. That's amazing. We're going to take another break. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about distracted driving. And I've got a couple of questions. Feel free to call in if you have any questions or if you want to share any of your stories. You can certainly call into the show.
So long as you're not driving.
As long as you're not driving, yes. Thank you very much for saying that. So pull over on the side of the road, or if you're calling from in front of your fire because it's the holiday season, feel free to call in at 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527. Or toll-free in Western Washington at 888-298-5569. Again, that's 888-298-KKNW. Come on back, and we'll be talking more with Michelle Pearson of Pearson Law Firm. Remember the pink tow truck? It was a Seattle icon. But did you know the mastermind behind the marketing was also one of Seattle's successful entrepreneurs? Learn life lessons from Ed Lincoln by reading his new autobiography, Life Through the Rearview Mirror. Available at area bookstores and online, go to walkthetalkwithkim.com and click on the link.
Hi, I'm Jerry Pearson, and since 1977, we at the Pearson Law Firm have guided individuals and their families through the legal process to seek justice and restitution in insurance disputes and personal injury claims. At the Pearson Law Firm, we work hard to secure justice in civil matters with a network of resources, a wealth of experience, and a compassionate attitude. That's the Pearson Promise. Contact us at 1-800-423-8473. That's 1-800-423-8473 for a free case evaluation. Or check us out at walkthetalkwithkim.com.
Have you heard the phrase, the beatings will continue until morale improves? To organizations, employees are the biggest assets and biggest fans. If they're not feeling heard or appreciated, the bottom line will suffer. For mission-driven organizations, the reliance on employees and managers to rally around the core messaging is critical for success. At Walk the Talk for Success, we provide leadership best practices, education, and communication strategies for mission-driven organizations. Whether you're a business of one, middle manager, or leader in a large company or nonprofit, our experiential workshops and focused on organizational psychology will assist you in achieving success with your messaging and vision. Call for a free consultation today, 425-888-9790, or check us out at www.walkthetalkwithkim.com. Walk the Talk for Success, achieving your message through understanding human behavior.
Lewis and Clark would be proud. We're exploring new territory on the air every day right here on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim on this holiday season episode of our show with very special guest Michelle Pearson and our guest producer Mike. And we were talking about distracted driving, but before we jump back into that conversation, I did want to give you an update. We had a commercial for Kilimanjaro for Kids on, and Chris Fagan was a guest on the show. She's with an organization called Think Shop. And for those of you that missed the show, for the holiday season, Chris took her husband and her son to Africa, and they biked through Africa and are climbing Mount Kilimanjaro in Africa. And actually, I believe that they've summited over Christmas time, and they're probably on their way back down. But you can go to KilimanjaroForKids.org or KilimanjaroForKids.com and check out how they're doing and what they're doing there. We've gotten a couple of Facebook posts from her, and she's amazing. Chris Fagan, for those of you that may remember, is our ultra runner, meaning she runs for 24 hours or some amount like that. It's just amazing what the human body can do. But her son has been a real trooper keeping up with them, and they've had a really great time, and she sent some really great pictures. So we want to wish her well, and she's doing this all for a really great cause. And the cause is Kilimanjaro for Kids. And again, you can go to KilimanjaroForKids.com or you can go to WalkTheTalkWithKim.com and I'll have the links there and you can even listen to the show again. But I know Chris is probably not listening because she's on a mountainside somewhere in Africa. But we're very proud of you, Chris, if you do listen to the show. And we are very excited for you and your family and can't wait to see you come home and tell us all of your really great stories. And again, it's for such a great cause. I love it when people do something brave and bold and different for great causes. That's what the show is all about. So welcome and congratulations. So we were talking about distracted driving, not to totally change the subject, but talk about being a hero. If we can all not be distracted while we're driving, we would have a lot less pain in the world, or at least pain in this country for sure. But I have to tell you, it's either easier said than done. There's a lot of push to be productive. When you're doing a lot of windshield time, it's hard to stay productive and not answer that call or not thinking about the three calls you have to answer. But hands-free devices, preferably, I would think, ones that you can dial, not by hand, but that you can actually say the number would be better, and not engaging in any kind of conversation that is high stress or emotional.
Correct.
At a minimum.
Right.
Preferably not to be talking on the phone at all.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be best. You know, I'm just going to give you a few statistics that I've gathered. It is estimated from a recent survey that was, again, I found some of this information out on the National Highway Safety Administration, finds that 71% of people between the ages of 18 and 49 admit they either text or talk on the phone while they drive. So even if you have that and you say, well, talking with a hands-free device is probably okay, and half of those people are texting, and you think about my client who was rear-ended, as I said, from behind by someone who was using his phone, looked down for a second, looked up, and he was hitting the back of her car, you know, those kinds of things are going to continue to happen. If you think that you can call, text, and drive at the same time, you just can't. I mean, I would bet that you and I, Kim, now Mike has already taken himself out of the running here, but you and I have admitted that we've done this before, right? There have been times where, and these are the times that finally convinced me to quit it, where I looked up, even if I'm on my own road where I live, which is very rural, all of a sudden I'm at that curve I didn't think I was at because I didn't look for a second and a half. And even at 25 miles an hour, you know, that's several hundred feet. And all of a sudden, you know, if someone's there on a narrow road, you don't see them, or an animal, or, I mean, it's just all...
Just because you can doesn't mean you should, right?
That's correct.
Well, and I think of, you know, cognitively, you were talking a little bit about how the brain wires and how the brain functions. And there is a myth out there, and the myth is that we can multitask, and that is a myth. Science has proven that. Psychologists have proven that wrong. We don't multitask well.
Right.
We can have our neural pathways go in different directions, and we have so much distraction in our lives that take us out of reality into the world of Facebook and the television set and the computer and anything else that we distract ourselves with. But that is not how we have evolved as human beings. As human beings, we have evolved to be very singularly focused. And even in caveman days, where there was multitasking going on with women, you know, they were watching kids and, you know, making the fire and doing all of that. They weren't focused on any one thing. They were focused on a little bit of everything, which is okay in that environment. But when you're behind the wheel of a one-ton vehicle going down the freeway at 70 miles an hour, it's not something that the human brain has evolved to, or may never. Who knows? We're just not really built that way.
Well, here's the thing, too. You don't know what's going to happen.
Mm-mm.
You don't know what's going to happen. You're like driving down the road thinking everything is going to be the way you imagine it. Excuse me, I wouldn't be in business if everybody could just make the day the way that they thought it should be.
There's no way that can happen to me.
There's no way.
Well, one of the things that I'm teaching my kids about, which is a really great lesson that I learned in not only horseback riding, but also in driving, because I have taken driver's courses because I like to drive. I mean, I like to take my car. I have a little Audi on the racetrack and race my car. I love it. It's fun. We learn this concept called high eyes. And the idea is that most of us, when we're driving, and for those of you that are listening and driving at the same time, be conscious of what you're doing, because you're looking a certain distance out in front of your car, which probably isn't far enough. You're looking maybe right in front of you. You might be looking at the car in front of you. You might be looking kind of at what's coming up. But we actually need to be looking higher than that. You need to be looking, if you're on a straight line, you know, a mile ahead or a half a mile ahead, because you do see a lot more in your peripheral vision when you actually look up. And you can see the chain of events, if you're paying attention, that'll lead to a car coming at you head on. That's happening way before you traditionally will see it. Traditionally, the way that we drive in our country is we're looking more down and we're not looking that far ahead. By the time something comes into our vision, peripheral vision, or our vision area or window, it's too late to do anything about it. You can't do any evasive maneuver, but just, you know, hope that you get missed. But when you look up higher, and race car drivers do this because they can see how the cars are going to hit, how they're going to bounce, how they're going to move, and be able to give themselves that split second time to be able to avoid the crash. Even if you're driving just peachy keen fine and you're having that conversation, you're still not giving yourself enough time to react to the other person who's texting and driving, who's coming at you. So it's not only about, you know, oh, I know what I'm doing, I can multitask. It's also about, there's other people out there that aren't paying attention, that you just buy yourself more time. You really, really do. If you use the concept of looking up higher, looking out further, you can see that situation. I had an example of this. I was driving down the freeway one time, and I saw ahead of me probably six or seven cars. I saw a guy just totally swerve, and I saw him start to tip, and I knew he was going to roll.
Wow.
And he just rolled right in front of me, and I was able to kind of pull off and move to the side and help him out. But if I hadn't been looking that far ahead, I would have been either ran into him or, you know, breezed right past him. And who knows, if he would have fallen out of the truck, what could happen? You don't want to be responsible for that. You don't want to have, even if it's not your fault at all, you don't want to have anybody else's life on your shoulders.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So what else do you have to tell us about distracted driving?
Well, let's see. Here's an interesting piece of information. Sending or receiving a text takes a driver's eyes from the road for an average of 4.6 seconds, the equivalent of 55 miles an hour of driving the length of an entire football field blind.
Wow.
55 miles an hour for 4.6 seconds will get you down a football field. All of that. Now, you know, just overlay that with what you were just talking about, looking out eyes high and thinking about that length of distance and I'm just imagining myself as I was reading that, what kind of distance that is, you know, just out here from the studio and what is in that distance, all those cars and all of that, you know, four lanes of driving,
dogs and balls and kids and
everything
else, especially on those rural country roads, deer, elk, anything else that you need to pay attention to.
Well, the as you know, a lot of the federal the highway traffic safety board, they collect a lot of data, and the most recent data that they have is from 2009 with regard to distracted driving, and there were 5,474 people killed in crashes involving driver distraction, and almost 500,000, 448,000 others were injured.
448,000 people last year?
In 2009. Were injured as a result of distracted driving.
Oh, that's terrible.
And almost 5,500 of other people were killed in crashes because of distracted driving.
Wow.
I mean, it's, as I said before, there are few things you can control in life.
Right.
And why not let this be one of them? You know, control your own ability to save yourself and be safe with other drivers.
And I wonder, of that 5,500, how many of those people killed themselves or killed somebody else? You know, I'll bet you a lot of those, they hit somebody else. It was just going on their merry way.
Well, and you were talking about children before. I don't have teenagers in the house anymore, and so I don't have access a lot of time, often, to what's going on in their world. But I have relatives who are teenagers, and 40% of teenagers apparently report that they have been in cars with drivers, young drivers, their friends, and they feel they're in danger because the driver is using some sort of a texting, you know, a phone, you know, sending an email, something like that. Like, it can all be done at the same time. And it's an important message to make sure it gets across to kids.
We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about what we can do about this. So now we've been armed with the knowledge. We know how terrible this is. And we know how this hurts people. So how do you talk to somebody that texts and drives, someone that you love? Or what do you do? What are some of the things that you can do for yourself? Some tips to kind of wean yourself off of this habit. I kind of see it as like smoking. It's going to be the peer pressure of people around you that's going to get you to change these types of habits, probably more than the laws are. And you're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim. When we come back, we're going to wrap this up with Michelle Pearson and talk more about how we can stop distracted driving. You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim.
Does your organization crave new ideas? ThinkShop can help. For 16 years, ThinkShop has inspired creative thinking at Fortune 500 companies, small businesses, and nonprofits. We help you imagine new offerings, strategies, or ways of doing business. Our proven processes and engaging workshops deliver powerful results. Learn more at thinkshop.com.
Hello, this is Kim Ariano of Walk the Talk with Kim. The reality is staggering. South Africa has one of the highest incidences of HIV/AIDS in the world. This fact results in millions of orphans left in the care of other family members, friends, or fending for themselves in child-headed households.
Focus on Atemba offers orphans and vulnerable children a new direction in life through loving foster care homes with committed parents and a real opportunity for a good education. Please consider sponsoring a child to receive the needed stability to change their world. Go to atembakids.org or follow the links from walkthetalkwithkim.com.
Hi, I'm Jerry Pearson, and at our firm, whether we're working on an automobile crash case or helping a client who's been injured by a defective product, we focus on justice. We're passionate about serving our clients. Our successful approach focuses on the right issue at the right time, with the best tools and expertise available. We focus on collaboration and cooperation. Clients support that process, and they respect our abilities to manage the legal process, to demystify it, and to explain choices and opportunities, and also their responsibilities. Contact us at 1-800-423-8473 or PearsonLawFirm.com. That's PearsonLawFirm.com. Or you can check us out at WalkTheTalkWithKim.com.
Forget their space and come check out our space on the web, 1150kknw.com, and find out about Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim. I was just sharing a story with Michelle and Mike that my husband got a new GPS system for Christmas. And the idea around getting him this GPS system is that he was using his iPhone and the map capabilities on his iPhone, but it's too small and it's too hard to read. And so when you're trying to drive and you're looking at your iPhone, that wasn't very safe. So we decided to get a GPS system, you know, nice big screen, big color screen. We'll tell him where to go. We'll tell him when to turn and when to do all of that. Well, part of this is it's got a voice activation on it so that you tell it the address. Well, you have to tell it the address before you start driving because you can have an emotional conversation with your GPS system when it's not understanding what you're trying to tell it. And so that's been a learning curve. So for all of you out there that got your new GPS systems, word to the wise, practice before you actually get on the road, because I was the passenger and I was the one who was pushing all the buttons and I was getting frustrated with it. I can't even imagine driving. I mean, sure, it will work. We finally got it to do the voices and to kind of match the voices, but there's a little playing with it that's a little involved. Do that at home before you get out on the road. We were talking with Michelle Pearson and Pearson Law Firm. Thank you so much for coming on the show today, Michelle.
Sure.
About distracted driving, which I think is a very timely subject, especially with all these people getting new gadgets. I got a new Kindle Fire. You got a Nook. I've got my iPhone. I've got all of these things in my life to distract me from life, but that'll be a conversation for a different show. But specifically while you're driving, what are some things that we can do? I have some ideas, but what are some things that you're hearing that might be some good tips on how to avoid it besides just say no? I mean, obviously, we can just say no to distracted driving, but what are some things that you can think of that might help?
Well, here's something that, I thought up a little bit about this before I came, and there isn't a whole lot out there about what you can do other than just say no. But the fact is that sometimes in this day and age, you do need to take a phone call. And I am often in that situation where I have the phone in my cup holder or somewhere near me, and I have it on ring so that I can hear it if I'm in the car, because I'm expecting a phone call. And I also have an elderly mother, so I never really know if there's going to be an emergency with a family member like my mom. So what I do, I know this is going to sound like, oh my goodness, she's a really old lady. This woman, Michelle Pearson, sounds like an old lady driver. But I now have almost always, I just drive in the right-hand lane expecting to pull over.
Yeah.
And take the phone call and pull over. Or, you know, pull over and take the phone call. That way I can do that if I need to. But otherwise, I rarely use the phone in the car anymore.
You know, I think there's some things as I'm thinking through this that might help. I think I've seen the pact come through on Facebook where some people say, from this point on, will do my best to not do that. And So if I don't return your call right away or what have you, that, you know, I will not be taking your car from the phone, just to kind of put a little bit more peer pressure on it, just mm-hmm. to say, you know, I'm taking a stand on this. I think that this is really, really important. And I even said before we went on the break, it's kind of like smoking. There's this peer pressure thing that kind of goes along with smoking. And when it was first starting to become, you know, when you couldn't smoke in restaurants or anything, when people really started to become militant about not smoking, there was a lot of that peer pressure. People that smoked were kind of banished. And, you know, you get in a car with somebody and they wouldn't smoke while you're in the car with them just because it was just so faux pas. We need to kind of get that way with texting and driving or talking on the cell phone and driving. So I think we need to be more bold and not be afraid to say to somebody, our spouses, our parents, you know, our kids, definitely our kids. Of course, we're never not bold when it comes to our kids, but even our friends. And so what are some of the things that you might say to somebody who, you know, is looking at that text while they're driving you someplace? You know, you can say very, you know, innocently, I'd prefer if you didn't check that text while we're driving. Or, you know, there must be some way or something out there. In fact, maybe I'll search for it. You and I can search for it after the show, and we'll post it on walkthetalkwithkim.com and on our Facebook on some ways that you can politely tell somebody that it's not okay. You know, just like if they were drinking and driving, you'd say, no, that's not okay. I'm not going to get in the car with you if you're going to drink and drive.
Okay, great segue. Okay, two things that I want to say in response to that. First is that there are some studies about the addictive nature of smartphones in particular, because if you think about what happens with a smartphone, you're being interacted with, and it's mostly positive. Oh, somebody wants to talk to me. Mm-hmm. Oh, somebody, it goes ding, you know, and oh, somebody sent me a text. Somebody sent me an email. And you just like have to see what it is. It's some sort of positive affirmation, whatever it is. But they're finding that people are actually becoming addicted to these things. So getting back to what you were saying about what else can you do, what I have found myself saying, because, again, sometimes it's really difficult to just leave it behind. You're expecting something. And if my partner is driving, or if I'm with someone who's driving and they get something they think they have to look at, what I've started to say is, may I help you with that?
Yeah.
May I help you see what that is? And invariably, they will hand me the device. And I can operate it. And if I can't, you know, it can wait a couple of seconds.
I think that's a great tip. So if, you know, just ask them, you know, can I help you with that?
May I help you with that?
Yeah.
Yeah, it works.
Or even somebody who takes a call in the restaurant, you know, that's so annoying. And so we need to start getting a little bold, especially here in the Pacific Northwest. We have a tendency to be a little bit too polite. I think that we need to not be so polite, and we need to help each other. Like I said, with my kids, I told them that mommy doesn't want to be distracted by the cell phone, and here it sits, and yet I'm doing it, and I don't want you guys to learn that lesson from me. So I'm going to try really, really hard not to. But if I slip, or if you see it, you're more than welcome to call me out on it, and I won't get mad at you, I promise. And so that's the conversation I have with my kids, although I don't like putting that burden on them. You know, I need to turn the phone off and put it in my purse. But, you know, bad habits die hard. I've been driving for... I spent more of my driving life driving with a phone on next to me on the console than I have been driving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you think about it, I got my license at 16. I got my first cell phone when I was 24. So since I was 24 until now that I'm 40, I've always had a cell phone sit next to me.
Wow.
I've always had it there.
Right.
And have, you know, always had those conversations. So for me, it is an addiction. And I think to treat it very lightly, that it's, oh, you just need to not do it, is... telling me not to stick a cheeseburger in my mouth, you know, I really want one. So, but there's healthier ways of looking at our addictions to cell phones and that technology.
Do you remember when drunk driving was okay?
Yeah.
I mean, it was okay to get buzzed and get in the car and drive around.
Yeah. Or have open containers and drink and drive.
Right. And there was a humongous movement to cut that out. And now it's in the culture. We are acculturated to... designate a driver. Okay. That's what we need to do with cell phones.
With cell phones, yeah.
Because it is, in many, many circumstances, it's equivalent to drunk driving.
Mm-hmm.
Texting while you're driving it increases your chances of having an accident by 23 times.
Isn't that like more than like smoking pot and driving or something like that? I heard something that it's consciously or cognitively to your brain, it's worse than, not that I'm advocating that you smoke pot instead of don't do that either, but that we underestimate, you know, how distracted driving really is. We've just been, by the grace of God, most of the time, that 71%, we've just been dang lucky.
Well, the smartphones and texting devices seem very benign, and they seem very friendly, and they seem like they're supposed to help you. And I think that's why people embrace them, and why they think they're so much fun, and why they think they're just, there isn't any problem, because somehow this little smart thing is helping me. But if you remember that doing anything like texting in the car is going to increase your chances of getting into a car accident by 23 times, that's enormous. Don't do it.
So we'll have this information and more on walkthetalkwithkim.com. Michelle, thank you so much for coming on the show today. How does somebody get a hold of you? What's your website?
My website is www.pearsonlawfirm.com. And my toll-free number is 1-800-473-84—let me give you the non-1-800 number because I don't remember it. It's 425-831-3100.
425-831-3100. 3100. Thank you so much for listening today. You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim. We'll be talking with you next Wednesday. And thank you very much to our sponsors, Pearson Law Firm. Expect expert representation and a kind, compassionate attitude. That is the Pearson promise. Go out there and have a beautiful day.
Thanks.
It's a beautiful